Good morning and welcome. Thank you for downloading the podcast.
Ciao. Good morning.
It is the 8th of February. It's about 9:20 in the morning, and it is going to be a gorgeous day today.
Good morning. Good morning.
We've had a break, a little bit of break of Old Man Winter's cold bite. And
it's been gorgeous the past 2 or 3 days.
It's been what I thought winter in Italy was like.
True, true. I did not expect snow and ice. I expected sun and shine.
It's been
it's been like 60s, 70s. It's really weird. There's snow on the ground where it's...
It hasn't been the 70s.
Okay, it feels like it.
Actually being dramatic. Shocking.
There's snow on the ground in some parts still where... the hills stay in the shade. Ah, chicken just entered the house.
Hey, chicken just came in the house. Excuse me.
Hello. Good morning. And then in the other parts where the sun hits, it is like shorts and t-shirt. I mean, we'd be crazy if we did, but midday, it's just gorgeous. So we've been trying to do lots of outside projects the past couple days.
But then when you wake up in the morning,
it's freezing.
Everything's frosted over and it's a nice hard frost. So it's been a big, huge temperature swing, like... You know,
20 degrees
every day. But it's been beautiful and we'll take it. We've been doing outside stuff. We've been burning, baby.
Burn.
We've been trimming the hedges, trimming the vines in front of the house.
Okay, this is not easy. I know this is boring for most people, but here is what we have to do. We sit up on a hill, our house. How high is the hill?
I don't know, two meters, 3 meters.
So... it gets covered every year. We have to do this each spring. Cut the bramble and the sticker bushes back. And how you do that is you have to literally do a team of like two people. One is using a hand sickle, like a
hand knife. A knife. Yeah, a big knife.
Like you would see it in a scary movie or something. Or you would think like, ah, that's what killed the babysitter. So you have to use this. And one person is pulling back the weeds with a rake. And the other has to get in really close to the ground and chop, 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 chop.
And you kind of peel it back like skin, almost.
Oh, it's gross. And it takes forever.
And then you roll it on down to the bottom of the little hill, and when it gets down there, we burn it, baby. We got a little we've upgraded from matches to a blowtorch.
Blowtorch.
And it works great. And then
the good old doctor is a freaking
nut. He's a floquista.
Yes.
So it's fun. And then yesterday we did kind of a trashy thing. We took chairs down to the road and sat there and watched all the brush burn.
You gotta control it, but we burned a ton yesterday.
We did, and it still is kind of crazy for me because that would never...
No, it seems like wrong. Like,
you shouldn't start fires or play with
fire. Smokey the Bear says that is not a good thing.
Not at all.
All I could think of was Smokey the whole time.
It was Smokey. Anyway, a little bit of housekeeping. Excuse me. Still getting over this throat thing. A little bit of housekeeping. We just want to throw out our website and our blog. You do it
okay,
this week.
So... www.latavolamarque.com, LATAVAOLAMARCHE.com, or you can find us on our blog, which is latavolamarque.blogspot.com, or our recipe page, which is latavolamarque.
Twitter app.
Yes, and Twitter at latavolamarque. So you can find us in all these different places. It helps so much when you guys download us on iTunes.
Leave comments and ratings. If you guys download the podcast, you obviously have. Please just take 2 seconds, click and leave a rating or leave a comment, and it'll really help us jump up the scales. And
yeah, it's awesome. And the people who have been leaving comments and stuff, it's great. We have like 14 comments, I think, so bump it up. Nice. Mm-hmm. You guys are doing great.
Or
Facebook us. We're everywhere, man. Social network.
But on that topic, we wanted to thank Thomas from Stockholm.
Shout out to Thomas.
From Stockholm, Sweden, who sent in a great... email with a couple of suggestions, and we're going to use your suggestions later on in the podcast. So,
thank you for writing to us. That was an awesome email. And along with the housekeeping, a little pronunciation note on last week's mention of Veline, which was in the Berlusconi documentary we had talked about, and
the girls
showgirls who dance. And I might have mispronounced it wrong, and I think it is more Veline.
V-E-L. Mm-hmm. Than V...
Like a villainess, like Veline, not Valine.
V-A-L.
Anyway.
Also,
oh, kind of based on. Oh, go ahead.
The pastry that.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
So to go from last week's talk about what was in season with the Carnaval Dolce, we found out some of the local names for some of the pastries.
The fried dough, the basically a donut without a hole. It's kind of just like a fried piece of dough,
like a dough ball, but bigger and a little better.
With the alchemist, the red liquor on it is called Castagnole.
And
without, but.
You can have it two ways.
You can have it two ways. Go ahead.
Which we found out the good way by going to dinner at our neighbor Pia's. And she makes these homemade. And they were freaking delicious. After this huge fish dinner, which was also delicious, she pulls out three big bowls of these Carnaval sweets.
And they're only from our area. So if you went to, say, up north and near Milan and went in and at this time of year and asked for Castagnole,
they'd look at you like
what are you talking about?
Or thinking it was some nut thing. And there's no nuts in it.
Well, castagna are chestnuts, but there's no chestnuts in this, even though it's called Castagnole.
So one big bowl had the donut holes with the red and
the alchemist
with a little sugar on top. Then there was another bowl of plain. They didn't have the alchemist on it, but they had honey drizzled over it.
Delicious.
And then you drizzle fresh honey on top of it again. That is addictive. And then the third bowl had fiocchi, which are like dough crisps.
Like flat, long, crispy, crispy pieces of the same dough.
They used to be called something. They used to have them at Taco Time. Something like that.
Are you comparing this to Taco Time?
No, but I just know my sister would know what I was talking about. There they had cinnamon and sugar crisps on it.
I know what you're talking about. Yes, jeez.
But in no way and shape am I comparing Pia's desserts to a fast food restaurant in Seattle.
But what's the secret ingredient?
Oh, say it ain't so. It's pork fat, baby. Oh, yeah.
They are fried in strudo, which is two different kinds of pork fat that we use. Strudo, which is more for pastry. It has no taste. It has no smell of pork to it. And then lardo, which is strudo's boiled, in water. And then when the fat comes to the top. And lardo is rendered. And that does smell like pork. And it has little bits of crackling in it. And normally is salted. So it's delicious.
Because I remember the first time we went to use the strudo for baking.
I was nervous. I thought it was going to smell like
Megan made pies.
It doesn't. Delicious. We had to eat. But anyway, they're fried in strudo and probably not great for you.
No, but they also that because that it doesn't penetrate.
Oh, yeah. It can't be good for. It can't.
No, but it,
no doctor will tell you to eat
except for cardiologist named Dr. Gaji.
If they think fried in pork fat a lot.
But it makes this incredible crust on it.
Oh, man, it's delicious.
It is so freaking good. I don't want Carnival to end. And I'm hoping that Jason will make some of these soon, so.
Oh, yes, that's just what fat Jason needs, is to make pastries fried in pig fat.
Okay, but it's not like you didn't talk to the butcher about.
How, if I can get.
He comes back from grocery store. He's like,
well,
so
when I go to the butcher, they have 250 gram or 500 gram little packages of lard or strudo. And I just wanted to know if I can get kilos of it. He said, oh, yeah, no problem. Just tell me what you need.
And he said, how much is a normal amount? You said like 5 to 7 kilos to.
I asked him, well, I didn't know how much it would take to fill up a pot. For
Castagnole.
Castagnole.
He's like, oh,
it's like 5 to 7 kilos.
But he was happy you were going to try.
Yes. Which is a ton of pig fat. But anyway.
Okay.
Costumes. We're going to gear up for Carnivale, even though we still have a month or so.
Yeah, but everyone's talking about
everyone's
it, making
getting
costumes.
Getting their costumes together.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let you guys know what we've decided, and we'll obviously put pictures up of the whole Carnival Festival.
What else is in season?
Oh, blood orange. Sicilian blood oranges. We start our morning off with our morning cappuccio or cappuccinos. And also a delicious glass of Sicilian blood oranges.
We only get to have this for like 2 or 3 months. Like February, March.
No, it started early this year. It started in January.
But they weren't as red.
No, they were not as red.
Oh my gosh. It is such.
They're so cheap, too. It's so good.
And what a bright way to start the day. I know that sounds so cheesy, but it is. It's this bright orange juice that you're drinking. It's so refreshing. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And we get a box of 6 kilos for €4. So
not a bad price.
Not a bad price. Delish.
We were in fact told the first time we had this that these were called the cheap oranges. top spots. We thought maybe this week we would talk about some of our favorite places in Italy to visit, in case you are planning your next trip or...
Man, we wanted to stay away from the Rome, Venice, Florence...
Yeah, like Siena is gorgeous as well, but it didn't make the top list.
It's maybe top places that you would know, that are not on the...
Just to think about. Add to your list. Maybe next time you come to Italy.
Yeah, maybe a drive, a little bit of a poke out there. You'd have to want to drive there.
Yeah, these are places that you can't visit if you are via train for the most part.
No, not true. Modena, you can go.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
It's harder. Anyway, we'll quit talking and start reading.
From north to south. Okay. We have to kind of fix this, but...
Okay, so starting in the north, we are going to say... Where did it go?
Dolomites.
Ah, the Dolomites. Cortina. Cortina is a tiny town in the Dolomites that hosted the Olympics in... I don't know. What year?
But let's tell them where the Dolomites are. Take Venice and go due north.
Northeast. West, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's two regions of the Alps for the Italians. They go to the Dolomites, or the people from Milan and Torino go to the Mont Blanc, Lake Como kind of Alps over that way.
But we prefer the Dolomites. The Dolomiti. Alpi di Susi.
There's a alpine meadow called the Alpi di Susi.
Suisi?
And it's a beautiful, huge alpine meadow. It's something I've never seen before.
The peaks in the meadows.
Yeah, we really just don't have alpine meadows where you have these giant peaks and the crazy tree, you know, pine trees, and then this gorgeous, huge green meadow.
And the little cherry on top is the chalet house right there. It's perfect.
So if you're in Venice and you've got a car, not too far from Venice to head north, west a little bit to Cortina. Also things to look for up there, they have a brown bread with speck in there, which is their prosciutto.
That's a fumicato, right?
I think it is smoked, yeah. And if you look for it, you can't miss it. It's everywhere. It's these little rolls that are brown with speck inside. Delicious.
Do not pass.
Do not pass. And also, it's funny to see them deliver the milk because they have...
Oh my gosh, it's true.
People leave on the street these stainless steel containers that the milk truck, the old style milk truck, drives by and fills up.
Those stainless steel containers are about how many liters? Like
they were all 15, different sizes, from 10, 5 to 50 liters.
And they kind of are what we would use in our area for either transporting olive oil or wine, but... It was incredible. We literally saw what looks like a gas tanker truck pull up and fill up these milk containers with fresh milk.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That is awesome.
So, Cortina, Dolomites, anywhere in the Dolomites is great. Heading south.
Yep. Modena.
Modena, as a on your way to Rome, or I'm sorry, on your way to Milan from Bologna, you'll pass through Modena. It's right after Bologna, and it is home to where... Traditional balsamic of Modena is made. Balsamico tradizionale di Modena. And it's totally different from balsamic vinegar that is produced industrially. It's just the grapes that are mashed and then put in a big cask. And then each year, with a hole on the top covered by this special piece of cloth. And each year as the vinegar evaporates, the water in the grape juice evaporates. It gets concentrated more and more, and they change the barrels every year. You can go to these...
homes.
They're in people's homes. They're always in the attic of people's homes.
There's only like 200 true traditional balsamic makers in Modena, correct?
Yes.
It's something like a very small number like that produces all of the true balsamic.
You can make a appointment and go take a tour of these and taste all the balsamic.
It is so incredibly... it's a wonderful experience. You come into these people's homes and you become part of their family for this short afternoon, and you get to sample something that's been in their family for hundreds of years. It is amazing. And they talk about how the balsamic is closer to God than wine, because wine is aged in cellars and balsamic is aged in the attic, which is closer to God. But there's nothing, I don't remember Modena, the city itself, being anything worth seeing, but...
That's not true. Modena was fun to look around.
True, but I'm saying go to Modena.
Go to Modena for the balsamic, absolutely.
And go with money to spend. Because...
It's not cheap, but...
It's not.
When you think of how it took at least 12 years, up to 30 years for them to produce this vinegar that 50 or 60 euro for 100 milliliters is not expensive at all.
No, and the fancy stuff you bought at Williams Sonoma,
which was $20,
yeah, is all. It's going to be loose. It's not right. It's watery. What you would get here
is syrupy.
Syrup. We're talking like molassesy. I mean, it is thick.
It's almost, and it tastes. It just go
you
grab.
Put it on strawberries and gelato to fish. It is.
We should do a whole thing of
on
we
balsamic.
Should, yeah, we should do some research.
I
on
know.
It. Okay, so there's another
okay,
podcast.
Okay, we could go on and on. Coming down would be Anghiari.
Anghiari San Sepolcro.
Which is in Tuscany.
A little piece
okay,
of
so
Tuscany.
So Modena is in Emilia-Romagna.
Yep. Now we're into Tuscany. About 45 minutes from us are the tiny towns of San Sepolcro and Anghiari. Two beautiful little Tuscan towns that, I don't know, there's just...
They're a bit sleepy and they're sweet because of it. It's not overrun with the traffic and the tourism.
No, it borders on Umbria and Città di Castello.
And Anghiari, I like to say, is kind of crusty. Like, it's a great place to go take pictures because around every other corner is a great shot. Nothing is straight and parallel. Everything is, it's just all crusty and crumbly and it's wonderful. And it sits in Tuscany on the top of the kind of ridge overlooking Umbria. So you look at the
Umbrian Valley.
Mm-hmm, which is really nice.
Staying in Umbria
would be
Civita di Bagnoregio,
mm-hmm.
which is Rick Steves little tiny town. It's this tiny town that is basically an island of rock that there's only a footbridge out to. I don't think anyone lives out there.
I think like four people. It's something ridiculous.
They have an ancient ancient...
Where they would go wash their clothes.
Wash their clothes.
But isn't it like made of limestone or something? Like why has this whole little...
I think there's always just been a footbridge out there.
No. It keeps just crumbling away, I think. It is the most... It is so peaceful to go out to. You're literally on this little island without water surrounding you. It is surreal.
It is surreal. There's nothing else to see there except...
It's go to be quiet.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And it's really crazy to see this little island out like
it's
a
like
gorge.
Floating.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's crazy. So that is Civita di Bagnoregio.
That's in southern Umbria. So then if you go towards our place, well, I guess we kind of stayed in Umbria. So if you went from Modena south towards the Adriatic, we would go to Fano,
yes.
Which we love. That's on the Adriatic Sea, and it's about 45 minutes from us. And
it's just a cute seaside town. There's two parts to it. There's the port and the beach, and then there's the city wall, the old part of town.
It's a Roman village town. It has a medieval wall. There's the arch of
Augustus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just love Fano, so I'll throw it on there.
I know. They've got a great market on Saturdays. Fabulous. Every like first or third Saturday also, or Sunday, is the... antique market.
Mm-hmm.
They do a great Caesar festival and carnival. I love Fano. It's on the list.
It is. And if we keep on heading south west a little bit.
Still in the Marche?
Frassati Caves.
So freaking cool.
Stalagmites and stalactites. And
it's like you're on a whole other planet.
It's incredible. It's called Grotto di Frassati.
I think it's like the third largest cave in Europe.
The grotto? I'm not sure about
that. I think it is.
You need to have your... You need to do some research. You're just making...
No. That's true. It is... You go in. It's always 60 degrees. So it's a great time of year to go when it's cold outside. Colder than that outside or a lot hotter. Or a rainy day.
There's three levels of tours you can take, from the hardcore with helmets and...
Oh my god, I want
to
do that sometime.
...to a two-hour kind of just walkthrough. It's in like eight different languages, and it's incredible. It'll blow your mind.
All ages. It's a great way to spend a couple hours in the national park. I think it's in the Sublini Park down there.
Yes, and in the Sublini Mountains. Oh, and also there's a place to get these
on
sandwiches
the
on the way there that are just... the pork shoulder sliced really thin and then grilled, and they put it on bread. Grilled on over open fire, put it on bread. There's always a line at this cart.
It's so. Literally like a shack cart truck on the side
and
of the road.
And there's 20 people in line every time
just
we've been by.
Meat smoking out from it. It's awesome.
Okay, sorry. We always bring it back to food. Okay.
After that, let's see here.
We're going to go way south.
Oh, you wanted to talk about
Puglia. The Trullis. There's Puglia is the heel. So we're now going all the way to the heel of Italy. On the Adriatic coast into Puglia, and they have the Trullis, and there's these white houses that are Moroccan influenced, Greek influenced.
I have no idea. They're cool. They're like nothing you've ever seen in Italy.
No, they're not. They look nothing like it, and they're tiny. They're built for little tiny people. And Puglia is really, really a cool region that doesn't.
Well, plus the farther south you get, the more Wild West it gets, they say.
Puglia is a great place that doesn't get a lot of publicity, but if you've been to Italy a couple times and you're comfortable and you really dig it, then keep going south. And we're going to stay in the south. The only large city on our whole list, we're going to head west, is Napoli.
No. Well, I also mentioned, I put Trastevere on the list.
Okay. All right. So, talk about Rome.
We'll go due west to Rome. Everything goes. All roads lead to Rome. So, yes, Rome. We didn't. It's not on the list. It is on the list. But how can you not have it on the list? So instead of saying go to Rome proprio, we say Trastevere, which is like the Brooklyn of Rome.
On the other side of the Tiber, I believe it's tram 4. Takes you.
You don't know.
I think it is.
Sending people on wrong trams.
Takes you to this little neighborhood called Trastevere, which is kind of not that far from the city center, but you feel like you're in a different world. Totally. You don't have the hustle and bustle. Cool bars.
Yeah,
cool.
University. Like, that's where a lot of the students are in the university. A lot of artists. There's a huge market there on the weekends. Great little churches and piazzas. But also
good wine bar
awesome
you can watch.
Place to eat is, what is it, Cafe?
Agosto.
No, Agosto. Not Cafe, but
Osteria?
Osteria.
Trattoria?
Something like
Augustus,
that.
Augustus?
I'll post it because it's awesome.
So check out, when you're in Rome, check out Trastevere.
Mm-hmm.
And then Napoli. Napoli, I love Napoli. I don't know why. I do know why. It's just great. It's crazy and gritty and loud and there's just something about the Napolitani and
it's in your blood.
That place that just I really like. I couldn't live there, but to go visit and spend a few days is great. I love it.
There's like that pulse and that vibe.
There is that vibe. You always come away from Napoli with a great story and
or feeling like insurged a little bit, like, woof, all right.
Yes.
Then from Napoli, I say jump on a boat and go to Ischia. What about Capri? Capri. First of all, it's Capri.
So tell the story about when we collected the lady.
So we went to the visiting Italy for the first time, and we go to the tourism board, the whatever in New York. We're talking to a woman looking at a map. We're like, where would you recommend? And she's like, oh, all of Italy is beautiful. And we said, well, where are you from? And she said, I'm from Capri. And we said, oh, Capri. And I looked at Jason and I thought, oh my God, we're such jerks. We totally corrected her on her place of birth.
On this pronunciation.
Yes. Oh my God, we're total jerks. So I always think of that now. But I have to honestly say we have never been to Capri, but we have been to Ischia. And Ischia is its sister island that doesn't get nearly as much.
Well, the cruise ships. Is that the phone?
No. Yes, oh, it is.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Gotta answer the phone. Sorry. On the phone. So we live in the foothills of mountains, and we have no fixed phone line, no real phone line. We only have a cell phone.
So, what's your phone number? No. Like, I'll call you at the house. That doesn't work.
No. But the cell phone reception is spotty at best out here. So we have our phone hanging in a tree outside. We're in the kitchen right now. It's hanging in a tree outside, so you kind of hear the phone ring, and you have to kind of run for it. Or if you're in another part of the house or not around, you'll never hear it. So those of you who have tried to call us know that it's sometimes not the easiest thing to get a hold of us.
Sometimes text messages we receive 2 days later.
Yeah, that's another thing. We'll receive SMS.
It just depends on the weather.
Anyway, back to Ischia. Ischia, a beautiful little island, not as crowded as Capri.
Has thermal waters.
Yeah, they're really into the thermal spas.
Phenomenal. Aphrodite was where we went, and that was great.
Oh, what was the name of the film that was filmed?
Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yes. But what were they trying to portray? They didn't
Capri.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Okay.
But it's beautiful. Go to the backside of the island. There's no one there. Small little fishing boats bringing in delicious fresh fish.
And you can get a boat out from Napoli there, and it's like 30 minutes or 45 minutes or something.
Great place to escape. You never see that in guidebooks, Ischia.
Not really. Last but not least, on the island of Sicilia, in Siracusa, the ancient part of Siracusa, Ortigia, where we just recently went to Sicily and stayed 5 nights in Ortigia in Siracusa. Beautiful. Love Sicily. Can't go wrong in Sicily.
Syracuse is a little... Siracusa. I know, but I'm saying it in English. Is a little bit city-esque. But then if you go to this little island...
To the old town, the island.
It is just quintessential Siciliani, and we had wonderful experiences with the locals, and great daily market, cheap seafood.
And a great home base to go see other parts of Sicily.
Good. So that was our top spots. Now, on to this.
This good radio. We've been invited to the boar hunt. It's the hunting season just ended at the end of January, and there's the Boar Hunters Festival.
Hunter came over two nights ago. We're like, what is he doing here so late? And he drops off this little invitation. Go for it.
Okay, so Saturday.
Do it in your radio voice.
So let me just describe the little invitation. It's a card. It's about, I don't know, 20 centimeters or like 8 inches long.
It's like a little postcard flyer.
Yeah, postcard flyer thing. And it's got bullet holes in it. And it's got this, you know.
Wild boar
on in the background. And it says, I'll read it in my voice of like the announcers who go crazy for like the motorcycle races and the monster truck routes. You ready? Sabato, 12 febbraio, 2011, ore 20, siete invitati alla festa dei padellari. Those are the gunshot noises. Ingresso libero a bimbi fino a 12 anni. Marcello Francesca live group, DJ Crouch. Cena e ballo, per prenotazione, tavola gratuita, conferma concerto. So that's what I think that the commercial would sound like. But we're going. We're very excited to be invited. And
now let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah, so what is the Festa dei Padellari?
Padellari. Okay. So we thought, this just must mean like Wild Boar Festival. There's a picture of a boar. It was a boar hunter who came and dropped it off. But then we were looking and going, what the hell does pedalari mean? And we looked it up in the dictionary.
Nothing. Looked it up online.
No go. So we call our friend Peter, who speaks Italian and English.
Speaks English.
And Dutch. And we ask him, and he says, oh my God, I've never heard of this word. I'll have to call you back. And we know that he was, like, consumed with it, and then he called us back immediately. We call Rosanna, the doctor's wife, and I'm like, what is this word? And she's like, oh, it's a dialect word, and it means someone who cooks with a pan. And
well, she said more than that, but...
But
padella... Something to do with cooking with a pan, because a padella is a pan.
Yeah, so padellari must be someone who cooks with a pan. So we're like, what? I don't know. So then we get called back from Peter, who's like, found it. We knew he would call back immediately. And he talked to Laria in town. And she said it means something to do with the young hunters, the young boar hunters who miss their target. So
like the green hunters.
Yeah. The guys who are young, who have missed, are throwing the festival, or the boar hunters are throwing the festival for the guys who have missed. We're still not quite sure, but we wanted to tell you.
What does it have to do with a pan?
I don't know. That's part of the fun of learning a new language while you're living in a foreign country. So that's part of why we were talking about this on here, because we still don't quite exactly know. Festa dei pedellari.
Yes. And it's definitely got boars, hunters, and...
Young hunters who miss their targets, and cooking in a pan.
Won't find it in a dictionary.
We know we're going, and we're going to eat and dance.
Yes.
So that's all that's important.
So that's what we will be doing Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
Yes. And we'll let you know exactly what it means.
And how it turned out.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to close it up, this podcast. Wow, 30 minutes, our longest podcast yet. We're going to close it up with proverbs or...
just like Italian sayings.
Funny sayings. And this is what Thomas...
Because Italians are filled with them.
Yes. And this comes from Thomas from Sweden. We're going to take his two suggestions. We did one last week was mi sono abbuffato, which is I'm full. I'm stuffed to...
Like, I've just eaten myself silly.
Silly. And here's one that means probably pretty much the exact same thing.
But probably just from a different area.
Go for it.
And Dio, mi sono intrippato per tre. So that would mean like I...
God.
Oh my God, I've eaten myself for three. So, or I've like stuffed myself for three. But you would also translate like I stuffed myself like a pig, just like you would do the same for mi sono abbuffata.
Say it one more time.
Dio, mi sono intrippato per tre. And he also sent another one in that was good.
Molto fumo, poco arrosto. I would think that that's kind of like all bark, no bite.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of smoke, nothing's really roasting.
Mm-hmm. So we'll come up with some more of these because...
I like them, they're fun.
I know, they're really fun, they're peppered in. We've done the You Wanted a Bicycle Pedal before.
Oh, you want my favorite one of all time?
Go ahead, you can say it again.
La madre dei idioti è sempre incinta.
Yes. So with that...
you're not going to translate it? You're going to make people look it up?
Well, we talked about it before. Check an old podcast out.
Oh, three chickens in the house.
Bye!
So we have the front door to the kitchen open because it's so beautiful. All the windows are open. The Italians are really into when it's a beautiful warm day. You open in the winter. You open up all your doors and windows and you change the air.
Cambia l'aria.
So we are changing the air. We should.
Oh, speaking of changing the air, sorry. Little update on the sausages, real quick.
Oh yeah, sausages are looking great. We're a week and a half in? 2 weeks
Something
in?
Something like that.
The sausages are about halfway done. I turn them every day. There's no mold yet forming on the outsides. I should take a picture. We should take a picture and throw it up on the on the blog of how they're doing. The salamis have a ways to go. They're much fatter and bigger. But the sausages, I would say in another week and a half, 2 weeks, we'll have some sausages to
sotto vuoto.
Put in the vacuum seal.
Good. All right, well, let's bring it home, baby.
Very good. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week. And from beautiful, sunny, warm central Italy.
Arrivederci.
Ciao, buona giornata.